acupuncture, which makes me feel that I can rely on you.
Well, I would like to believe, Rita, that whether it be me literally or African American Registry through me.
Yes, both. I went to your website. I told you I saw your photograph and I read a bit of what you're doing, which is admirable. It's hard work.
It is challenging work,
without
question. But, you know, I straddle the line between the passion of the calling and avoiding becoming something that resembles a martyr.
Oh, yes. But that's something which I didn't understand. So you say day by day. Do you have something like a calendar running?
Well, the website is calendar-based. By that I mean what you see on the homepage today will not be there tomorrow because the date will be different and therefore the information will be one that coincides with the 19th rather than the 18th.
Yeah, and that's your personal research, I guess.
Yes, ma'am, it is. Dean's birthday will
any
come.
Any support other than people who donate anything?
The tape is rolling.
Yes.
Hello. African American Registry is pleased to be in the presence of Miss Rita Dixon, the wife of classic music conductor Dean Dixon. Thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.
A few questions. Could you describe possibly your first encounter with your then future husband, conductor Dean Dixon?
Yes, sure. I worked for an impresario, as they're called, a personal manager for classical music. And in this position as his assistant, I met with Dean at the occasion of a concert in Zurich, in Switzerland. And I must say it was a purely professional meeting of seeing one of your clients at work, and then later on to take care of details such as booking a plane and getting the car ready to get to the airport and such things. So that was my first encounter.
Ms. Dixon, what is your musical or artistic background?
That is the background of German, born German, in a family of music lovers, playing the flute and the piano, then finally, or eventually I should say, the cello, which I chose myself, which I loved making music with the family. Never professional, but enough to read music, read scores later on, and mainly also keep my love for music and enjoying. It's never been the hard work of a professional musician, because that really sound like it's nice, but in some ways you have to work for 5-6 hours a day just on your instrument to keep the level, and that was not my thing. I was not talented enough, and I realized early on chamber music with the sisters, that's it, and I kept that up.
Thank you. What was your fondest experience of witnessing Dean Dixon's musical work?
I can say immediately when he conducted Brahms. This was for me such an experience like I even now have rarely found someone who gave this depth and interpretation of the music of Johannes Brahms to me, which was also one of his strong points, even by all the hard critics or the fans or the recordings, it was always Brahms.
And your relationship with Dean Dixon lasted approximately 10 years?
Yes, correct.
Why, if you know, did Dean Dixon come to Europe from America?
Well, I can only repeat what I heard, since that was before my time, and in fact, somehow, he was active in the States when I was still a very small child. So I can only repeat what I know from there. He had his chances in the States, but at that time, some of the younger black people found they did not have or did not get the chance to really make it. And when he got an invitation in 1949 to conduct in Paris, in France, he took this chance. And after that, he realized that the life was different, the atmosphere was different. His philosophy probably went along with that in Europe very well. So he stayed on in the environment. He got a job in Sweden then for 7 years with the Gothenburg Orchestra. Then he went on to get a music director of Frankfurt. And in a way, America, he used to say, the self-exile. How do you say it? He self-exiled himself. Oh. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yes, okay. Because in the 70s, that was the period when he returned, and it was probably, politically speaking, the right time to return.
In what ways, talking about your marriage to Dean Dixon, in what ways did that union bring you the most happiness?
That's such a difficult question. I don't find one particular answer to this other than the music, because I really loved what he was doing. And I also felt it was good that someone was looking after him in a professional way, in a personal way, and help a person of that outstanding talent, personality. And at the time when we got together, he was already a rather sick man, so he needed also someone who looked after him. And that had a big influence on our relationship. But what brought me the most happiness, it was getting to know him, having someone I found was such a superior person. He never let me feel that I could never achieve what he achieved. He always said we all have our strong points, never mind where, but we all have something unique. And he was a very deep person. He tried to get into the other, his family, into his friends' minds, if you like, to really have a fulfilled relationship. Whoever was with him felt it. It was not just a lukewarm acquaintance, you know. When we sat together with friends, it was cooking together, talking together, drinking together, laughing together, and then talking again. But everybody had a chance, you know.
Interesting. I'm touched by the support that you felt from him in regards to the greatness that all of us have because we're human beings.
Yes. And I can give you a small example.
Please.
Something that just also a personal memory. When I was a child, having been brought up by German parents who were rather strict, and there might have been some discussion, or you had a wish as a child, we were always very strictly told no, or yes, or no, let's say no, and no explanations given. Nina had a problem, the daughter, and she was at that time 14, 15, 16, you know, in this growing up period. She would say, may I discuss something with you, Papa? I said, yes, before meal, after meal, just till, and usually it was after meals, because otherwise you can't eat when you have a knot in your stomach. And then they would sit down and discuss her thoughts, her problems. She presented whatever she wanted in a very normal way, and I was not used to that. He let her talk. He never interrupted. Just listened. And they both gave the reasons. I remember one time when he said, well, we agree to disagree, and only one of us can be right, so please find out. I thought that was so overwhelming, and she was treated like a grown-up. She was 15 or 17, I don't know, but I don't remember, let's put it in a correct way. But it was just that giving the other person the chance, you know? And that I thought was fantastic. Even with your own child, where it's so easy to say, I'm your father, you are still here with your feet under my table, and you do what I say, you know?
That is unique. And
yeah,
the registry,
I thought so.
The registry really appreciates you sharing that, too. In your observations around your husband, was his black heritage ever difficult for him in France?
That I can't answer, because at that time it was his second wife, Mary, who was with him during the French years, the French past, and I understand the typical thing, the American in Paris. It was a period when many Americans, and especially intellectuals, and quite some famous blacks came to France, and they were like a community, you know, within the community. And whether he had actual problems, he used to say he found it everywhere. He was had experiences even in Sweden, and yeah, it's something, how can I say, this passed me by because we didn't discuss it.
Couple of more questions, one direct, the other one sort of open-ended, if you will. What could you share about Dean Dixon that in your values is important to his legacy, yet at the same time not very well documented?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. What I feel is becoming more and more important, and which was recognized by him in very young years, was educating children, getting children to appreciate music. And he was called the baby doctor for music, because he went to the schools in his car with the record player, and had Beethoven's symphonies playing at a given hour in a given school. I don't know if it was Harlem or wherever. Yes, it must have been also Harlem. And the children listened, and they painted at that time. What was their feeling? How did this music, which they didn't know at all, touch them? They could ask questions, but in the end it was something like a competition. They painted, and then they got awards and first prize or whatever prize. but it became something like a game, and with this attitude they got more and more interested, and there was from his side also making with his own orchestra. He had friends who played with him. It was an interracial youth orchestra which he founded. He went to schools also, or he had children from the age of 3 to 5 to sit in the middle and the orchestra around, and they played music until the children got restless. So then they went to the next piece. It was very interesting. The rhythmic pieces went along very well. Very modern stuff, and yet the children were fascinated. In the end, they could go and touch the instruments they liked best. And that he did in New York as a young conductor. He did that in Sweden. He did it in Sydney, where he was chief conductor. And people thought, smilingly, ah, yes, yes, that's nice. Not realizing that that is the public of the future. That's how you can get created, not being a teacher and telling, but let the children feel the music. Because through the body, you feel much more. When you touch an instrument, it's playing, you know. So now when you read about these youth orchestras, young people, always young people doing this and that. It was also Leonard Bernstein who did it, but more on a show business, on an educational channel. It was not going into the schools, but having the people and the children and the mothers with the children come to his educational programs. So I think that would be much more appreciated if people knew about it, that it started in the 30s with him. And now they're very strong in it, you know.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very compelling. The baby doctor.
The sort of responsibility, and that is character or characteristic of Dean, to think on, to think about the future, not of himself, not having some glorious moment in the music, but trying to spread it, spread the gospel if you want, you know. He said, I want to give it on to others.
Thank you very much, Ms. Dixon. You and I have talked a little bit about your current status, and you're feeling better, and probably the world is a better place because of that.
Yes, thank you.
That being said, what is next for Aretha Dixon?
Yeah, I have a partner in an agency, personal management for a number of artists, and we've now had our 28th year of existing. We is a former singer who I met after Dean died, and he and I worked for the same management, and then we decided we could do something on our own. He for the singers, I for the instrumentalists and conductors. It was very hard work, taking its toll, if you want to know it, but also giving pleasure of building, you know. It's also in my makeup, mental makeup, to do that, and that continues to now that I'm going to be 17 next year. I still continue working. I still do my work in the office, going to festivals, looking after some of the artists we represent, and discussing future possibilities for engagements. And sometimes you think, where do I find the next youngster who needs help, who needs building, who needs advice, who will take advice, which is something else, and yeah, make this happen again. And that's a matter of luck. Sometimes it's a matter of having the right contacts, the connections, the strengths, the languages. And it is my love of the music, for the music, and I love people in general. I'm interested in people who have something to give, then I can give as well.
The name of your agency?
That is Balmer and Dixon Management. And Rudy Balmer is the co-partner, and Dixon, that's me.
Rita Dixon, we've talked about a number of things this late part of August 2008. Is there anything either about you as a wonderful artist and person, or about Dean Dixon himself, that we've not covered that you would like to comment on at this time?
Dear Ben, I'd love to. It's just as I try to think back, there's such a wealth of memories, and yet there are some private memories which should remain private, I think. And at the same time, if there's something that I feel might be important for African American Registry, I'd let you know.
Thank you very much for your time, Rita Dixon. We will maintain contact with you.
Yes.
And we wish you the best of health, a wonderful birthday, and a very prosperous business life as well.
Thank you, Ben. I wish you the same. And really, I mean it. I wish to meet you one day in person, and then we can exchange much more.
We will begin working on that in earnest, I promise.
Yes, please.
Have a good night.
Yes, thanks. You know, you have a day in front of you,
I do.
Have a good day,
mm-hmm.
And let's watch the Olympics.
Yes, let's watch the Olympics.
Yes. We were jubileeing yesterday for the Jamaicans who were running, because the parents of Dean were coming from Kingston and Barbados,
ooh.
New York,
ooh.
Where they dropped Dean. So he, when they got married, they were still British subjects.
I see.
Yeah, and he never made it to see Jamaica.
Hmm.
It was a pity. We had the plan, but it just didn't work out. So you see, that's why yesterday Nina and I were sitting here and saying,
You know, in 4 years is such a long time.
Yes. But we make our meeting happen. Hmm?
Absolutely.
Good. Thank you for your call, Ben.
Thank you for your time.
Let's correspond, if possible, by email and see how we can manage to meet one day.
Let's count on that.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.